Recording in progress.
Thank you, Craig. And thank you to Deb, if you are out there in Zoom land, for sharing your poem. Once upon a time, somewhere in the East, a water bearer had two large pots. One hung on each end of a pole, which the water bearer carried across their neck. One of the pots had a crack in it. While the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water at the end of the long walk from the stream to their house, the cracked pot arrived only half full. For a full 2 years, this went on daily, with the water bearer delivering only 1.5 pots of water to their house. The perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, perfect to the end for which it was made. But the poor cracked pot was ashamed of its imperfection and was miserable that it was able to accomplish only half of what it had been made to do. After 2 years of what it perceived to be a bitter failure, it spoke to the water bearer one day by the stream and said, "I am ashamed of myself and I want to apologize to you." "Why?" asked the water bearer. "What are you ashamed of?" "I have been able for these past 2 years to deliver only half my load because this crack in my side causes water to leak out all the way back to your house. Because of my flaws, you have to do all of this work and you don't get full value from your efforts," said the pot. The water bearer felt sorry for the old cracked pot, and in their compassion they said, "As we return to my house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path." And indeed, as they went up the hill, the old cracked pot took notice of the sun warming these beautiful wild flowers on the side of the path, and this cheered it up a little bit. But at the end of the trail, it still felt badly because it had leaked out half of its load again, and so again it apologized to the bearer. The bearer said to the pot, "Did you notice that there were flowers only on your side of the path, but not on the other path's side? That's because I have always known about your flaw, and I took advantage of it. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day when we walk back from the stream, you're watering them. For 2 years, I've been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate my table and enjoy them here, next to the path. Without you being just the way you are, I would not have this beauty to grace my house." Sometimes when we're focused on what we can't do, we're unable to notice what we can do. And that, my friends, is all too easy these days. Between what feels like the longest winter ever and the 2 years since we've had the first hint of the changes we have had to make. Our pot has been broken for a really long time, and we're in the midst of losing half of our capacity to carry on. And it's pretty hard to see the flowers on our side of the path. And this year's bizarre transition from winter to spring is hard to bear, at least for me. Not only is it frustrating on so many levels, it's a vivid reminder to me of the damage we humans have done to our Earth home and to each other in the process. Humanity is a cracked pot. Knowing that produces in me some of the shame that the pot expresses, shame for being who and what we are. And that shame, coupled with the darkness of winter, for me has taken away any conviction and often motivation to take action to make a difference, and replaced it with a cycling up and down sense of hopelessness. And so it is work just to remember my own call for work, to work for peace and justice. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Often when this story is told, we identify first with the cracked pot. Many of the reflections that I've read about this story identify with the cracked pot. And the moral of the story that's often lifted up is that despite our imperfections, we can and do create beauty all the time. And that is not an inappropriate lesson to hear today. And what if we're not the pot? What if we're the water bearer? What if we're the person doing the hard work of carrying their water to their home every day? And the person with the vision to have planted the seeds to take advantage of the imperfection? And the person with the compassion to tell the pot its role in creating the beauty they both got to experience every day as they're doing the hard work? The Buddhist scholar and eco-feminist Joanna Macy teaches a counter-story to the hopelessness that we might experience as we notice the brokenness of the world and as we allow ourselves to acknowledge that we're responsible for a lot of that brokenness. She calls it the work that reconnects, and she teaches it as a spiral. The spiral begins by coming from gratitude, because that quiets the frantic mind. It brings us back to source. It stimulates our empathy, our confidence. It helps us to be more present. And it opens space for acknowledging the pain we carry for our world. And the second part of that spiral journey is owning and honoring that pain for the world. When we dare to experience that pain instead of pushing it down, and going on with business as usual, we can learn the true meaning of compassion, which is to suffer with. We begin to know the immensity of the heart-mind, the expanse of our caring. What had isolated us in our private anguish now opens outward, delivers us into the wider reaches of our inter-existence, our inter-being. Honoring our pain for the world and experiencing the reality of our inter-existence helps us move into the next part of the spiral that she calls seeing with new and ancient eyes. We can sense how intimately and inextricably we are related to all that is. We can taste our own power to change. We can feel the texture of our living connections with past and future generations and with our sibling species. And then, with those new eyes and those ancient eyes, they're not really new, right? They're just an awakening of something ancient we have always carried with us. With those eyes, we go forth into the actions that call each of us according to our own situation, our own gifts, our own imperfections, with others whenever and wherever possible, because we need each other. We set a target, we lay a plan, and we step out. We don't wait for a blueprint or a fail-proof scheme, right? Because there's no such thing. For us, we'll be our teacher instead, bringing new perspectives, new opportunities. Even when we don't succeed in a given venture, we can be grateful for the chance we took and the lessons we learned. And so the spiral begins again with gratitude. There are hard things to face in our world today, and we cannot face them if we hold our grief to ourselves. Gratitude, when it's real, offers us no blinders. On the contrary, in the face of devastation and tragedy, it can ground us. Especially when we're scared, gratitude can hold us steady for the work that has to be done. Even amidst pain, trouble, tiredness, loss, fear, writes Deb Mirbeau, take root and comfort and courage as the planet continues on, as it has for 4 billion years, despite your struggles. There's a connection between this for me, between this spiral, this work that reconnects, and the Easter story. And my colleague, the Reverend Teresa Cooley, speaks of Easter in a way I want to share with you. These are her words. So there they were, a ragtag group of people who had never been singled out in their lives, a fisherman, a prostitute, people who were hardly ever considered special. Suddenly they were part of something more incredible than they could ever imagine. This extraordinary man had come into their lives and they followed him, not even really knowing why. Their lives now felt important. They understood things that they never really knew before. It was like a gray cloth had been pulled aside and behind it was this brand new sparkling world full of adventure. And the adventure kept growing. The group of followers got bigger and bigger and they began to be known wherever they went. Sometimes huge crowds would gather just to see him, and they would be touched by people who wanted to touch something attached to him. He did something to people, not through a magical power from far off, but by showing them they had the magic within themselves, that everyone carried the key if they would only just use it. But then it started to get too big. The crowds grew larger and more rowdy. The man was more and more outspoken in his criticisms of the powers that be. That wasn't such a problem before, but now that they were so well known, people started to pay attention, and the crowds kept getting bigger and bigger. One of them wanted the man to use his influence politically, but he refused. He was after something deeper, more meaningful, something that would change people's inner lives as well as outward circumstances. And so the worst thing happened. The political one betrayed him, turned him into the authorities, told stories about him. They couldn't imagine it, one of them who had traveled so far with him turning on him now, but the man seemed to expect it. And then things got really ugly. They were all going to be arrested and they had to do it. They had to pretend they didn't know him or else they would go down with him. They felt terrible, confused, guilty, angry, sad, afraid, angry with him that he let things go this far, and then he was gone. Killed in the most humiliating way possible. Cruelly executed with the common criminals, and then his tortured body thrown into a mass grave. One of his rich followers bribed the government to at least get his body back and put it into a tomb and rolled a heavy stone across to keep out the looters. They were stunned. They didn't know what to do, where to go, who to see. They stayed hidden away in case they were still at risk. And they could hardly look at each other for their shame and their grief. Two of them, his mother and his lover, thought that at least they could go and properly prepare his body for burial. As they walked there, they realized they wouldn't be able to move the stone by themselves, and they thought about what they would do. When they arrived, they realized they didn't need to worry. Someone else had rolled the stone, but worse, the body of their beloved was gone. Where could it be? Did grave robbers take it? Did some malicious enemy take this opportunity for revenge? Or was it possible that something else far more mysterious had happened? Reverend Teresa ends her story here. I appreciate this version and this being left hanging, right? Because I think this is where we are right now. We haven't yet experienced the awakening of the man we thought was dead. We haven't yet experienced the awakening of life as it should be, as we need it to be. We're in grief for our losses. We are bewildered at where we find ourselves. For so long, we've been in this holding pattern of loss and fear and unknowing and feeling a little better and then more fear and unknowing. It is time now. As the earth begins to green, to ground in gratitude, to learn to honor our pain for ourselves, for sure, for our hurting world, and for our hurting neighbors. Mary Oliver says, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. When I want to find my place in the family of things, I need to ground. I need to start small. So I invite you now into a beginning to practice grounding in gratitude with me by either simply staying where you are and listening to this meditation, or perhaps moving your body as I move mine. If you choose movement, you may rise or stay seated. Feel the earth beneath my feet and know that I am standing on solid ground. And it is good. I feel the sun on my face, and I know that I am warmed and awakened by its energy. And it is good. I feel my heart beat, and I know that the blood pulsing through my body is made up of the same stardust and water and salt that is in the oceans. It is good. I feel my breath move in and out of my lungs. For the Zoom folks. And I know that I'm exchanging life's elements with the plants and the trees, and it is good. I see the stars in the heavens, the eyes of my neighbors. And I know we are all made of the same stuff, and it is good. May it be so, and may we be so.